Good morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. You want to get your outline out so you can follow along with this morning's message. A dream team. That's what we're talking about today, a dream team. That expression, it's been around for quite a while. Usually it's connected with sports. When I hear that expression, a dream team, I think of the 1992 USA Olympic basketball team. That was truly a dream team. It was the first time professionals were ever allowed to play in the Olympics. And so the United States brought on the very best, the cream of the crop of the NBA. And many sports journalists referred to that as the greatest athletic team ever assembled for any sport at any time. Included were 10 of the 50 greatest players ever to play basketball: Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, and the incomparable Michael Jordan, just to name a few. They steamrolled all of their opponents. I actually felt sorry for the other teams that were playing for them because they were winning each game at an average of 40 points. Amazing, amazing dream teams like that are exceptionally rare. And yet, we need one. We need one here at Stony Creek Church for the extreme makeover of our building. It will add 5,000 square feet of usable space to our facility. It's going to make our building so much more user-friendly for every aspect of our ministry, and it's going to free us up to go to multiple identical Sunday morning services so we can make more and better followers of Jesus on a bigger and better scale. Without, and this is very important, without losing our family feel here at Stony Creek Church. In fact, it's going to enhance the family feel at Stony Creek. Today is part two in our series, Building for the Future. It's a series about our plans for the extreme makeover of our building, in which we're learning from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah about how we, with God's help, can realize this dream. See, we're not just building a building, folks. We're building believers into a church family. And that makes this a whole different animal than any old building project. Today, Building a Dream Team is the title of our message. Of course, the 1992 USA Olympic Dream Team, that was assembled 25 years ago. But the team that we're learning about in the book of Nehemiah was assembled 2,500 years ago. And unlike that 1992 team, Nehemiah's team was not made up of superstars or professionals or the most talented people on the planet. It was made up of just ordinary people. But they were fired up by a dream to rebuild the broken down walls of Jerusalem. And what I love about this story that we find in the book of Nehemiah is that it shows us how we can accomplish our dream, our God-given dream. Now, I call it a dream team, not because we're so awesome ourselves. Maybe you're awesome, but I'm not awesome. I know that. But our God, Mary, quiet about that. Our God is awesome, is he not? And he has given us a dream, a God-given dream to renovate this building. And that's what I'm excited, seeing that dream go become a reality from just ordinary folks like us, to convert that dream into a reality. Now, let's just do a quick review of what we have learned so far. Nehemiah was a Jew living about 2,500 years ago during the time when the Jews were returning to their homeland in Israel after their devastating exile to Babylon and other lands. Nehemiah was a high-ranking official. He was the cupbearer. We learned about this last week. In the court of the most powerful man in the world in that day, King Artaxerxes of Persia. And last Sunday, we learned about the role of prayer in moving a mountain-sized project. Nehemiah prayed, and the king allowed him to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the broken-down wall of the city. And we saw that prayer is essential for a mountain-sized project. And let me say, to those of you who have been praying about this project, maybe even fasting, I want to thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. I thank you for that, and I ask you to please continue, because without prayer, we literally don't have a prayer in this project. It's more than just prayer, however. Prayer is essential, but we need more than just prayer. It's also sacrifice and teamwork. We can't do God's part. Only He can do His part. But He won't do our part. Let me repeat that. We can't do God's part, but He won't do our part. It's all wrapped up in our main idea. The one thing you should remember if you forget everything else I say, if you're taking notes, you want to write it down. It goes like this: to achieve a God-given dream, build a devoted team. That's important. That's what we need here. That's what Nehemiah needed. Now, maybe you're wondering if joining this effort is really worth it for you. Is this something I really need to invest in and sacrifice for? I understand that. Well, today we're going to hopefully bring some clarity to that. We're going to look at three steps in launching a God-given dream. And as we go through this, you might ask yourself, is this a dream I want to be a part of? Number one, the first step in launching a God-given dream is to appreciate the need. How many of you brought an umbrella in today from outside? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody brought an umbrella? Why would you need to, right? My phone says it's 72 and sunny out there. I haven't been out in a little bit because I've been here all morning. But the prediction is clear skies today. And so you didn't need it. Unless you see a need, there's no reason to act. Well, Nehemiah knows the people of Jerusalem are living in disgrace because the wall is broken down and the city is vulnerable to attack. Job one, when he arrives in Jerusalem from Persia, is to get a good handle on the need. What is the exact details here of the need? And so in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah goes out to do an inspection. He wants to look at the wall. He wants to see the rubble there and how extensive the damage is. And we see in chapter 2, verse 13, these words. Nehemiah speaking for himself, he says, "I went out through the valley gate to inspect the broken down walls and burned down gates." Up till now, Nehemiah had been living in Persia, 850 miles away from Jerusalem. He had never seen all of this. But of course, this wasn't just any city wall. This wasn't just any city. This was the city, the capital city. This was the holy city. This is the place of the temple. This is literally, to this day, the most important place on the planet, the holy city of Jerusalem. And it saddened him, it must have angered him, to see that these walls, after the people had been back in the land for about 140 years, are still lying in ruins. But for the Jerusalem residents, they had more or less accepted their disgrace. Jerusalem was once this magnificent, impregnable city, the city of David, the city of Solomon, all the mighty kings that had once ruled there, and of course it was surrounded by that that great wall. And we saw last week how important city walls were back in those days to the people. But that was hundreds of years ago. Now the wall is a heap of ruins, probably has weeds growing on it, and you know, people have just kind of gotten used to it. The rubble, the charred cinders, they've gotten accustomed to it. They never saw it the way it was before. 140 years this wall has been broken down. It's easy to get used to things that need to be fixed. You got a lampshade in your living room that's got a big dent in it. The kids were playing soccer with it. And, you know, you think, we got to fix this, got to do something about this. But you neglect it for a little bit. And pretty soon, what happens? You get used to it, right? Pretty soon, you barely even notice it. But when a visitor walks in, that's the first thing he sees. What a lousy lampshade you got here, you know? So we get used to things. So Nehemiah assembles the people, and he wants to reiterate the need. He wants to kind of bring it home to them. And he also wants to cast a vision, inspire a dream. Look at chapter 2, beginning at verse 17, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. Now, Nehemiah doesn't pull any punches here. He just tells it like it is. He refuses to accept the deplorable situation. He calls it a disgrace. Our city is a disgrace, he says. But he doesn't stop there. He casts the vision. He says, let's do this. Let's do this ourselves. And then he inspires them with good news. He says, hey, we've brought this up to the king. He knows about this and he wants to help us. That's huge. The most powerful man in the world wants to help us. In fact, as we saw last Sunday, he has graciously provided for this. We can do this. All of a sudden, the people dare to dream that their walls might be rebuilt. Here at Stony Creek Church, we have a big need. In our case, it's due to a good problem, not a bad problem like it was back then. Our ministry is growing. Often on crowded Sundays, we have to add additional chairs in here, and the place gets packed. But even when there's room in here, the children's ministry back there is packed. Even on lighter Sundays, right now we're in September. September is typically one of the lower months for attendance. But even in September, back there, it is packed. The kids are crunching into small rooms. Now, don't get me wrong. They're having a blast back there. The kids are loving it. They're bouncing off the walls. But there isn't all that much room to bounce anymore. And, of course, the hallways are also jammed before and after the services. Not long ago, a woman who used to attend Stony Creek Church every week, but then moved away, visited, and she said to me, whoa, this place is so crowded now. It was even more obvious to her than it was to me because I'm here every week. It's very familiar to me. And You say, well, why don't we go to multiple services? Well, we technically could do that, but we still don't have adequate space for the kids back there. Even at our 9:30 service, which is not attended as much as this one is, we're still cramped back there in the kids area. And we don't have good fellowship, area for fellowship. The hallways get congested. When we want to put on a dinner or anything, it's very cramped, and we have to spread people out over the building. We can't have everybody together in one place. We need a makeover, a renovation of this building. And folks, this is not just for us. We're not just improving our lifestyle. It's so that we can reach more people, reach the people of our community who need Jesus. And so, for the last 14 months, our leadership team has been diligently exploring all the viable options. We've consulted multiple experts and researched all kinds of things like buying vacant land. Could we do that? Could we afford that? Or leasing and renovating existing buildings? Could we just plant another church? We've asked and received lots of your feedback. We've been constantly asking for your feedback and listening to it. We even did a feasibility study last spring. And so for 14 months, we've been looking into this, and we have been soaking it in prayer, pleading for God's guidance. Lord, just show us, please show us what we need to do. And as several doors were closed in the options we looked at, it became clear to us that renovating this building was by far the best option. And I believe that it is the Lord's will for us to do this. It's time to mobilize this church into a dream team, a team to pursue the dream and make it a reality. Okay, so we need to appreciate the need. Secondly, on your outline of steps in building, pursuing a dream or launching this dream is, number two, embrace the dream. You've all heard Dr. Martin Luther King's famous "I Have a Dream" speech. I'm sure just as you hear me say that, you can hear it resonating in your mind. And rightly so. It was delivered back in 1963 at the Lincoln Memorial. It is one of the greatest speeches in American history. In addition to it being a masterpiece of writing and rhetoric, the speech has been just inspiring to millions of people, not only because it painted a picture of how America should look, but it also talked about how America could look, how it could look if we just lived up to the principles given to us by our founders in our founding documents. Great leaders like Martin Luther King inspire people to dream big. They inspire people to see a better future, something that people can believe in, and that they can believe that they can attain that future. Great leaders motivate people to do what they would never do on their own. That's why you need leaders. Leaders inspire you to do what you wouldn't do on your own. And that's what Nehemiah did for the residents of Jerusalem. The wall had been burned and busted and broken down for 140 years. Everybody knew that. That was nothing new. But until Nehemiah came along with his God-given dream, the people never believed that just a few thousand of them, who were not professional construction workers, could actually rebuild in a space of 52 days a 2.5-mile wall using just, you know, their own strength, brute strength, and the ancient tools that they had. By all accounts, this should have been impossible. But with prayer and a God-given vision, These formerly beat up and beleaguered residents of Jerusalem suddenly became believers, believers in the dream. Look at what we see there in chapter 2, verse 18. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." They haven't said that in 140 years. Let's do this. We can do this. Brothers and sisters, God is strong at Stony Creek Church. The other day, a man told me, the first time I ever walked into this place some years ago, I sensed God is here. He said, I've been to many other churches, but I never experienced anything like that before. Folks, I hear that on a regular basis here at Stony Creek Church. God is here among us. Now, that man was not a Christ follower back then. He was not a believer. His wife invited him to church, and he sensed God's love when he met you folks. He felt it radiating from you. He sensed Jesus in us. Nick Spencer was that man. He became a Christ follower here at Stony Creek Church, and his life and his marriage and his family have been transformed ever since. There he is, and there's Alex, who gave me my DeLorean last week, all right? So I failed to give him credit for that last week, and not that he complained about that, but I just felt like I needed to say who made that great donation to inspire me. Folks, I'm now mentoring Nick, and he's been baptized, he's become a member here, and his wife as well. God used all of us to do that, to transform a life, to transform a marriage, to transform a family. Just yesterday, I had breakfast with Alan Cato, sitting right over there next to his wife, Tess, and he told me how the Lord has really transformed his life since he just started coming here a few months ago to Stony Creek Church. Alan became a Christ follower just a few months ago right here at one of our church services. And then he, in addition to him, his wife became a Christ follower. Why don't you guys stand up? I know I'm embarrassing you. I'm putting you on the spot. Well, he told me, guys, you can sit down now if you like, or if you want to just keep standing, that's fine. He told me about how his life has been turned around, how his family's been turned around. He and his wife both accepted Christ, and they got baptized here, and this is what really melted my heart, and that was little Lila. There's Lila. Lila Victoria, that's one of their children, and they've been teaching her how to pray. All right, here's a life, here's a marriage, here's a family that has been turned around, and their kids are being affected by it as well. This is what motivates me, folks. These kinds of stories, and if I had time, I could keep on citing examples. We could be here all day, just talking about examples of lives, of marriages, of families transformed here at Stony. This shows me that not only is it working, but it's worth it. It's worth it to sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, my dream is to see transformation like this that I've described, multiplied exponentially through the ministry of Stony Creek Church. This is not about building a building. It's about building believers into transformed, fully devoted followers of the Lord. That's the vision God gave me when he led me and my wife to plant this church 26 years ago. It's why Stony Creek Church exists. It's our DNA. But right now, as the building exists, it's like a shoe that is too small for the foot that's crammed into it. And the foot can't grow anymore. We want to. We want to reach more people, but we want to go, for example, to two identical Sunday morning services, just like this one, but twice on Sunday morning. You say, well, why can't you do that now? Well, technically we could, but it wouldn't solve the problem of the cramped kids back there or the need for fellowship space. Also, if we went to two identical services right now without the renovation, we'd have to move what we do at our 9:30 service to some other time during the week. The most logical choice would be Wednesday night when we have a kids program so that the kids could learn and have something to do while adults study the Word. The 9:30 service, by the way, I should tell you, is different from this service. It's more of a classroom setting where we dig into the Bible a bit more deeply, and there's opportunity for question and answer. A deeper Bible study, that's in our DNA here at Stony Creek Church. It's part of what we are. It's part of what we're called to do. We value it. And so we want to continue doing what we do at 9:30 here at Stony Creek Church. You say, okay, well, do it on Wednesday night. We'd love to do it on Wednesday night. The problem is every room in this building is used on Wednesday night. The way the building is set up right now, there's no place to put us unless we occupy a closet, and I don't think you want to meet in a closet. And so what do we do? There's no place to do it, at least the way the building is right now. But with the renovation, we could do it. And that way we could offer something for everyone on Wednesday and add more of these services on Sundays with more room for the kids to learn, much more room for fellowship in our commons area. This is a comprehensive plan that we've come up here that will serve us for the next 5 to 10 years as the church continues to grow. We value what we do here at 11 o'clock at this service. This service is our time to worship and to learn the Bible and also to bring friends who may not know anything about Jesus or the Bible. In this service, they find a safe place to hear a dangerous message. And that dangerous message is the cross. It's dangerous because it will radically transform your life if you receive that message. That message that Jesus died for you on the cross and arose from the dead, and that he calls you. He calls you to repentance and faith. He calls you to follow him in a life of putting him before yourself and putting others before yourself. That's what we try to do here at this 11 o'clock service. We want to make that clear to people and also give the Christian ample opportunity to worship and to learn the Word. And so you might say our 11 o'clock service is Christianity 101 and our 9:30 service is Christianity 201. Both are vital. We want to continue doing both. So, and we want to be able to do it with ample room for everyone. This church building will be used, God willing, for many years. Your family will see it. Your kids, or if you have grandkids, they'll see it. When you invite friends and relatives and neighbors, they will see and benefit from the renovation you helped make happen. And when people come to know Jesus and grow in Him, your work will have helped make that a reality. Every worker played an important role in rebuilding the wall in Nehemiah's day. And the same is true with our extreme makeover. We need, God knows, we need everyone on board. Let's look at the third step in launching a God-given dream. Number three on your outline is to join the team. To accomplish something great, you need a dream. And to get a dream, you need a dreamer. But being just a dreamer is not enough. If you don't have the courage or ability, the know-how to accomplish the dream just gets stuck between your ears. And it never happens. It goes nowhere. In fact, dreamers who only dream can, if they don't watch out, if they're not careful, they can become frustrated and critical and even bitter. Have you ever seen that happen with a dreamer? It does happen. Why? Because they have this great dream. They see how things ought to be and could be, but bringing that dream into reality is forever elusive to the only dreamer kind of a person. Years ago, I knew a dreamer who had lots of great ideas for his church. But he was only a dreamer. He was always sharing his dream, but he lacked the desire and the ability to see his dreams become reality, and it frustrated him mightily. He told me once, "I have the gift of criticism." That's what he literally said. "I have the gift of criticism. I tell my pastor and my church how things ought to be. I tell them about the corrections that need to be made, and I also make clear that I am not the one to do anything about it because I just have the good ideas." That's torture, not just for the dreamer, but for the people who have to listen to his complaints. I know, because his pastor was me. Nehemiah was a dreamer, but not just a dreamer. He was also a great team builder. He was a true leader. He not only had a God-given dream, but he also had the God-given ability to inspire people to join the team to accomplish the dream. His dream became contagious. Look what the people say in chapter 2, verse 18. "Yes! Let's rebuild the wall." So they began the great work. Now in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we find that Nehemiah organizes this team with the citizens of Jerusalem. And he makes them into several teams. And each team is responsible for a different part of the wall. And He really is ingenious in the way he does this, because he puts people in places in the wall to repair where they're most passionate about, where they've really got skin in the game, like near to their house, for example, where they want good protection there, right? Things like that. And if you're in a small group, we're going through a study on Nehemiah with video teaching that I've prepared that kind of supplements what we're learning here on Sunday morning, and so you'll learn more about that in your small group study. But the result was that the wall, this 2.5-mile wall, gets built in just 52 days with these non-professional construction workers doing it. The work was hard, it was a tremendous sacrifice, but it got done. Here at Stony Creek Church, it's not enough to only dream, to only have our mission statement, to only have our vision for reaching this community with Jesus' love and his transforming power. We need to act. We can't do God's part, but he won't do our part. We're at a critical point right now. An opportunity has been granted to us by God to advance the mission. I can't do it, you can't do it, but with God's help, we can do it. I'd like to share with you in just the closing minutes here how you can join this team. You've got some pointers there on your outline. And the first one is this. Get the info. And you get the info, the details about this renovation by going to a renovation presentation. At this presentation, you'll see the floor plan and get the details and how we plan to pay for it and so forth. Now, many of you have already been through this. You've gone to a small group presentation and you've seen it, but there are still many who have not. And right now, we're down to our last two presentations. We had a whole bunch of them. Now we're down to our last two. One is later today, right here, at 4 o'clock. So there's one possibility. The other is this Tuesday evening at the small group of Judy Bernard. And if you go to to our website online, you can find out the details about how to find out where her house is, or you could talk to her today back at the information booth. Or maybe you say, I absolutely cannot make either one of those. My schedule just absolutely will not permit it. I can't do it. Not going to happen. Well, if you're in that boat, we do have an option for you. It's not the preferable option. We'd much rather you go to a live presentation. But if you can't go to a live presentation, there is the possibility, and don't tell anybody else, but there is the possibility of seeing this presentation online. To do that, after the service today, go to the information booth, and Chris will assist you. He'll get you the information packet and the way that the link to the presentation that's online. We'd much prefer if you go to a live presentation so you can interact. You can ask questions or share concerns or give ideas. But if you absolutely cannot make a live presentation, then please do go to Chris and get signed up for the online one. A second way that you can participate and be a part of this effort is to pray about and consider making a 3-year pledge to the renovation. Now, at the presentation, whether you see the live one or the digital one, you're going to receive instruction about discerning God's will. What does the Lord want you to do for this? You'll learn how to seek God as to how much you should give. You know, not everyone can give financially. Maybe you're not in a position to do that. Or some can only give a little. Well, that's fine. Our motto here is equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. Some can give a little. Some can give a lot. Some can only pray. All I ask is that you go to the Lord and ask Him what He wants you to give, how He will provide for you to give. Ask Him, Lord, what sacrifice do you want me to make? See, the widow, remember the widow who gave just her two pennies? That was a huge sacrifice for her, but it wasn't a big gift. And so we're talking here about equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. We need to raise $600,000 in pledges over the next 3 years for this renovation. That's a huge mountain for us. It's going to require sacrifice from all of us. And so please, ask for God's guidance. He will give it. Next step is attend our main event this Wednesday evening. That's September 20th, this Wednesday evening. It's at 7 o'clock. We're going to have an elegant dinner here for you and a separate program for the kids with food for them down at the other end. And it's on the church. Now you say, well, besides getting some tasty food, what's in it for me? Why should I come to this? Well, answer, I'm going to reveal a secret that night. A secret. And it's truly a secret that only I and one other person at the church is going to know. I'll give you a teaser right now. Some of the leaders here at Stony Creek Church, 16 households in all, have agreed to turn in our pledges early, today, as a matter of fact. We're doing this because we want to be an example and an inspiration to all of you. And this Wednesday, at the main event, I am going to reveal how much has been pledged by these 16 households, these advanced pledges. And I want to inspire you with that. And I think it's going to be worth a celebration. So please, come on out to that. Put it on your calendar. And we're going to cram us all in this place and have a good time together. And next, finally, turn in your commitment card next Sunday. In your packet of information, you will get a commitment card. All right? And there'll be a little envelope with it. Next Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, right here, that's September 24th, right here, it's Commitment Sunday. It's game day for Stony Creek Church, all right? I'm asking all of you to please be here. I'm also asking all of you to turn in a pledge card after you have prayed about this and discussed it with your spouse, your family. You say, but I can only pledge a dollar a week. Well, that's wonderful if that's what God leads you to do. Please bring your pledge card here with your dollar a week pledge, because we need to do this together, you see, folks. It's not equal it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. You say, but I can't pledge any money. Not even a penny, not a penny a week. I can't do that. All I can do is pray. Well, then I would like your pledge to pray. So please, we need to be together on this, whether your gift is small or large, because it's much more than just money we're committing here. We're committing to Jesus' family. That's what this is about. God is building a team to accomplish the dream here at Stony Creek Church. Be a part of it. Join the team. Realize the dream. We can't do God's part, but He's not going to do our part. We're going to close our service now. Ask the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering and closing song. Maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you need some spiritual counsel. I invite you to come down here after the service and talk to our pastoral prayer team, if that's you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the story of Nehemiah, and even more so, Lord, the story of Jesus, who gave everything for us. I pray, Lord, that we'd be inspired by this to act in faith, and to give whatever it is you're calling each of us to give toward this effort. Lord, let no person be compelled by any human being or by guilt or anything like that. I pray only for the pressure of the Holy Spirit so that this church renovation would go forward as a truly inspired effort of yours, Lord. We commit ourselves to you, our tithes and our offerings right now, and we give them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.